The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 6th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what the right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. In the name of Jesus, amen. There is an old statement that you're probably very familiar with, one that you have used many times before in your own life. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. I think during Ash Wednesday, we could probably flip that around a little bit and say, dirt is in the eye of the beholder. When it comes to cleanliness and your standards for cleanliness and my standards, there are differing opinions as to whether something is truly clean or not. The college-age boy living in his dorm room or apartment probably has differing views of cleanliness, whether it's his laundry or the dishes, than his mother does. Children have differing views of whether their hands and their face are truly clean than their parents. It's amazing how hands can look so clean from one perspective and so dirty from another. Dirt is in the eye of the beholder. Now, on this Ash Wednesday, some of those silly examples carry an important message for us. For when it comes to our lives and our sin, it is also true. Dirt is in the eye of the beholder. In our world today, one person thinks that dirt and sinful lives could be of their own opinion, and yet somebody else could look at a dirty, sinful life and say there's nothing wrong with that. One person might consider themselves pretty good and clean, while another person may look at them and see nothing but filth and sin. And honestly, we really like it this way. We can be judgmental and still yet leave ourselves off the hook. But the message for us today as we enter another holy season of Ash Wednesday and Lent, and all throughout this time of year, is true. And it is indeed true for you and me. Dirt is in the eye of the beholder. But there is only one set of eyes that truly matter, the eyes of God. The eyes of God, according to our gospel reading tonight, sees both what is done in public by you and what you do in secret behind closed doors. The eyes of God who sees not only your actions and my actions, but also our words and our inmost thoughts and desires, whether they are in accord with His will or your own will. The eyes of God who see both what is done outwardly and what is in your heart and my heart. And although we may look at our world and each other and ourselves, and we may judge one another by our own standards, and we may simply think, nah, I'm not that bad. I'm not as bad as those people over there, or that person who's in prison, or that person who I'm hearing about on the news. Dirt is in the eye of the beholder. And according to God and what he sees, not only are we nowhere close to not so bad, we are dirtier and more sinful than we even know or we could ever imagine. God has told us there is not one righteous. No one is righteous, not you, not me, not even one. From the moment of our conception, sin has infected and corrupted every part of your life and mine, even our eyes, so that we cannot even recognize how sinful we are. That's why we do what we do, and that's why we hold others to standards of our own sinful heart. It's not simply just doing the sin, though. It is all because we are sin. We don't just do sin. Hear that again. We are sin, from top to bottom, inside and outside. That's just how powerful and pervasive sin really is. That's really how corrupted I am. And that's why all of us here today are going to die unless Christ returns. Our world then says, sure, fair enough. We acknowledge that people are dirty, they're sinful. We acknowledge people have got addictions, they've got problems. Just come clean. Get it off your chest. And in so doing, it'll be a cleansing sort of experience for you and your aura and your personality. But that's not really the case. Acknowledging that I consumed poison doesn't mean that the poison won't now hurt me. There needs to be something to counteract the poison that I have ingested. I need an antidote. Simply noticing and acknowledging my sin, my guilt, and confessing it, as we will do so in just a few moments, doesn't take care of the problem. There needs to be something to make you clean and make me clean. Something from outside of us. Something applied to us. And according to Scripture, that something for sin is blood. As the Old Testament plainly shows us again and again, and as we are told in Hebrews chapter 9, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. Without blood, there is no cleansing. Christianity is a bloody religion. And Ash Wednesday and Lent are all about sin, as in a few moments you'll get an ashy cross on your forehead and be reminded that you are dust and to dust you shall return. But even more so, we are reminded tonight about the blood. So while recognizing our sin, recognizing our depravity, recognizing our judgmental nature, recognizing all of the things that we keep hidden from others, we do not morbidly dwell on our sins. We're not here to bathe in self-pity and sorrow, or to somehow find some penitential and sacrificial equivalent to God that we can offer. We're not even available to offer up our own hearts to Him, let alone even the ashes tonight that we receive. To do that would be doing exactly what Jesus tells us to do in the gospel, not to do. Today, and in this Lenten season, we recognize our sin, we repent of it, and then we come to this altar to receive the blood of Christ that has washed it all away. Take, eat, and take, drink, he says. Take, drink, this is the blood of the new and everlasting covenant, shed for the forgiveness, the remission of all of your sins, shed for you, shed instead of you or me, shed in your place, shed to cleanse from all sin, all the sins that we have done in the past, that we do now, and that we will do in the future, all the sin that is in your heart and mine, all the sin that we've inherited, all of it, every last one of them, washed away by the only thing in this world that can wash away and forgive sins, the blood of Jesus Christ shed on the cross for you. For our sake, God made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God, what we heard tonight. Sin is who you are, and sin is who I am. And so Paul is here telling us here once again this evening that Jesus had to become who we are. He became flesh and blood. Yes, we know all about that. But he also literally became sin. Sin for us. And he shed his own blood on the cross in my place and in your place. He shed his blood for the forgiveness of all sins. And yet what we read in the text right after this sentence is so utterly profound and amazing. Paul says, so that in him, in Jesus, we might become the righteousness of God. In this blood, a great reversal takes place for you. He who was righteous became your sin and my sin, so that we who are sin might become the righteousness of God through faith in Christ. To put it back in those words, dirt is in the eyes of the beholder. A great reversal has taken place. Before, in my sin, I might think that I'm not so bad, but in God's eyes, I'm filthy to the core. But now that has been reversed. It has been reversed for you as well. It's exactly the opposite. Today we have gathered here in God's house and we take a long, hard look at ourselves and we acknowledge our dirt, our filth, and our sin. But now because of the powerful blood of Jesus Christ, God looks at you now and says, you are no longer dirty, but you are clean. Your sins have been forgiven. The blood of my Son has washed you clean. I see no dirt on you, no sin. Go in peace. You are completely free of guilt and sin. And we can. We can go in peace, for we are at peace. Peace with God, because his blood is on this altar here this night for you to eat and to drink. There, in this meal, there in your hearing, is the forgiveness of all of your sins, because the blood of Christ proclaims it before the throne in heaven of God. Sure, dirt is in the eyes of the beholder, but do not worry. No matter what you may think of yourself or how you may feel, as I said before, there is only one set of eyes that truly matters. And because of the powerful blood of Jesus, his Son, in the eyes of God, you are perfect, you are holy, you are righteous. You are blameless. You are innocent. You are beautiful because you are clean. To Christ alone be all the glory, now and forever. Amen.